2 weeks ago, we finished our study in 1 John. As I mentioned in that message, we talked about several themes in 1 John. You know, John was contradicting the false teachers who had left the assembly, the false teachers of that day, and still today we're teaching that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. They were teaching he was not fully God and fully man when he was on this earth. John, in his first letter, spent a lot of time refuting this false message. And he was strictly teaching what we have heard from the beginning. And that message is that Jesus Christ is the one and only true Son of God. John also talked about love. And yes, we are to love one another, but he made sure to talk about God's love, the Father's love, and that love is not an attribute, not only an attribute of God, but God is love. And as we had mentioned 2 weeks ago, that because he is love, everything that he does is done in love. He watches over us in love. He protects us in love. He judges us in love. He provides for us in love. His love was made manifest in sending his Son, who had been with him from the beginning, sending him to this earth to be our propitiation for sin. The manifestation of the Father's love on earth starts with Christmas. Now that we are in the Christmas season, and because we finished 1 John and we haven't started a new book yet, I wanted to take the next few weeks leading up to Christmas to talk about this manifestation of Christ to us. And as I said, it starts on earth with a baby. The entire reason we celebrate Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God. So this morning I would like to focus on and talk about the manifestation of Christ in love. Christ's love. We'll start our passage in Matthew chapter 1, if you'd like to turn to Matthew 1. It'll be more of a starting point this morning. Matthew 1, and I'll read verses 18 through 25, hopefully a familiar passage, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. I'll read that this morning. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. Here is Jesus, the manifestation of Christ to this world. Today we're going to look at that aspect of Christ's manifestation to this world, the manifestation of Christ as love. If we start at Christ's birth, we are starting in the middle of the story. So let's go back to the beginning, Genesis 1. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. As you know, he goes on and continues to create all things. Here we see in the beginning, God created everything, and it was good. His intention, as we will see today, was for a perfect created world that was made to love God. But as we know, sin enters. Sin enters the garden, and with that first sin, everything changes. Now we look to Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. And that says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Listen to verse 6 again. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. The Lord was grieved. The Lord was sorry. What is it that would bring such sorrow, such grief to the heart of God? What offense? What could be that significant that would bring grief to the heart of God? Verse 5 tells us, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention and of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and this grieved him. All over the inhabited earth were people, and they continually and continuously they were doing evil in the sight of God. And every intention and every thought of their heart was only evil. We as humans were created to love. That love, we were created to love God. Love of God, a God-centered way of thinking and living, was what we would shape every thought, motive, choice, decision, word, and action. It would shape us so much so that in every situation, you could ask, why am I doing something? And the answer would have always been God. We would recognize his existence. We would recognize his authority. We would recognize his greatness. And as an act of love, we would choose to serve him with all of our time and with all of our energy. That is what we were created to do. We were made for God. We were made to love God. This is what all humans were made to do, to love God. We are people who love and people who are motivated by love. Everything you would do, you do it. Wherever you do it is motivated by love. That love that motivates us was meant to be a God-centered love. That is how we were meant to live. Obedience is not just a submission to the rules, to the commands. That's not what true obedience is. Obedience is rooted in the love of God. And because I love God, I find my joy in staying inside his holy law, inside his commandments. I find joy in that. I find joy as he calls me to do. I find joy in serving him. I find joy in his glory because I love him. You know this to be true in your relationships you have with people. When you love someone, you want to serve them. You desire to make them happy. You find joy in their joy. That's how every person who was given life was meant to live. That was the purpose. Now we come to Genesis 6 and verse 5. And it is very clear that something has happened, because there must be something other than love that has claimed the hearts of human beings. They no longer delighted to serve God. They no longer find joy in his joy. They no longer want to stay in his holy law. No, they willingly, purposefully, continually do what is evil in his sight. And this is grievous. Think what Christ's answer to the law was when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he summarized the law, and it begins with, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. What is the greatest command? What is the command of all commands? Love God. That love initiates all other commands. If love for God is the ultimate command, then the greatest evil is failure to love God. When we don't love God, I don't care about obeying. I don't care to live for his glory. Just because we as people do not love God as we should, it doesn't mean that we don't love. We always love. We were made to love. So if you are not loving God, then you will give that love to somebody or something else. When we read about this evil and wickedness that brought grief to the heart of God, we must think what love could have pulled us away or brought grief to the heart of God. We must think what love could have pulled us, what was so powerful that it replaces the love that was meant to have been for God. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, when talking about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, said this, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. That baby, the manifestation of Christ on earth, came to die so that we may no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and was raised. The thing that always replaces the love for God, the thing that leads to the endless evil, is love of self. We always put ourselves in the center of our world instead of God. We are obsessed with our will and our way. We want to be sovereign over our own lives. We want to set our own rules and standards for living. We are obsessed with our own comfort and our own pleasures and our own happiness. We will stop at nothing to get what we want. So when we live for ourselves, we will step over God's commands again and again, because our heart isn't motivated by love for God. It is motivated by love for self. What is it that makes a marriage or relationship so hard? It's selfishness. It is love for self more than love for the other person. What is sin rooted in? Selfishness. This self-centered love. Every moment of greed is rooted in selfishness. Every kind of gossip is rooted in selfishness. Every bit of disobedience is rooted in selfishness. Every moment of unfaithfulness is rooted in selfishness. Every moment of violence and murder is rooted in selfishness. The evil of this world has happened because we no longer love God, the way that we should. This is tragic because the world was designed to have love for God at its center. And when he is not in the center, evil and chaos run rampant. We know God loves his creation. We know he loves what he made by the fact that his heart is broken. If you love someone and they turn their back on you, they betray that love and they set their love on something else, that will break your heart because you love them. If you don't love them, your heart will not be broken over them. God shows his love for his creation as he is grieved at their betrayal. Let's look and see what God's response to this betrayal in Genesis chapter 6. I'll read verse 7. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. This looks very sad and grim, and a bad end to a story. It seems like God, not in an act of vengeance, but God in holy, righteous justice says, enough. He made us. He provided every good thing we wanted, a life we could have never made for ourselves. And what we do? And what do? We turn our backs on him. So he is going to wipe the earth clean. He has every right to do this, and it is not unrighteous. It is not unrighteous anger. It is holy and righteous justice that sends the waters of the flood to wipe the earth clean. Seems like this would be the end, but in God's love, it is not the end of the story in Genesis 6. We come to verse 8. Verse 8 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In an act of sovereign grace, God places his favor on Noah and his family. We all know the story of Noah and the ark. They were chosen by God's grace to survive the waters of the flood with the animals in the ark. And as vitally important that part of God's love saving mankind is in the ark, it is also important to see what happens after the waters of the flood dry up on the earth. God makes a covenant with Noah. God is going to bless him and his descendants in an act of great love. And if we go through the genealogy, we eventually come to a name that we are familiar with, Abraham. He was a descendant, and God made a covenant with Abraham as well. In an act of great love, he told Abraham that not only will his descendants be blessed, but through his line, all the nations of earth will be blessed. We know this from Matthew 1 and verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We see the need. The need of Jesus Christ is great. We had a broken relationship that can only be rectified by God's love. God's love manifested in Jesus Christ. We know the need. We know the sin problem we all have. We know we are selfish. We are self-centered people in need of a way out. We know from when we studied James that who or what controls our heart controls us. It controls our words, our behavior. We in our own self will lose the war over our heart. We need something else. We need a baby. We need a savior. We need someone to do for me what I can't do for myself. If I'm ever going to be a person who loves God the way he created us to love. So God in his love, we know from 1 John that God is love. In his love, God sends a baby. Not any baby, but his only son. The Lord, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 10 say this. In this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In love, he sent his Son to us. He sent his Son to be exposed to all the harsh realities of this life in a fallen, sinful world. But to live in this fallen, sinful world full of temptation, he lived a perfect life, a perfect life that flowed out of his love for the Father. He, the Son, came to do the Father's will. In every thought and in every desire and in every word, in every action, he perfectly obeyed. He did what we are unable to do. So in love, we have the story of a baby being born. The story of Christmas is the story of God's love made manifest to us. The birth of a baby in Bethlehem is the manifestation of God's love to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We're all familiar with John 3:16. Love manifested in Christ in the flesh, fully God and fully man. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is from John 1, verse 14. Love came down in the form of a baby. So we set this time aside to rejoice, to proclaim, to reflect on the great need of a great Savior. Just like in Genesis, the baby, the story of Christmas is not the end of the story. For as we know, the baby grew, and he fulfilled the will of his Father. He fulfilled his Father's plan and will live on this earth a perfect life as he lived and had his earthly ministry, teaching us how to live and how to love one another as he loves us. His life, his ministry, and yes, his death was a service of love. He took our sin upon himself and paid the penalty for our sin with his death, so that we would have hope, so we could defeat that love of self, and it would be replaced with the love of God. So one day we would stand before him and our hearts would be full of love for God, so that every word and thought and action would be pleasing in his sight. That is the hope we have because of a baby coming to this world, coming to die. By his work on the cross, the power of sin has been broken. By the cross, he made a public triumph over the enemy. Therefore, we do not need to live under the bondage of sin anymore. As we know, the presence of sin still remains. As we grow in love, and as we grow in our Christian walk, only by his grace is sin being gradually destroyed from our life. Yes, there will be times that our thoughts are not always shaped by the love of God, but through his grace, there will be many times that your thoughts are shaped by the love of God. There will be times that our desires do not flow out of the love of God. But again, by his grace, there will be more times that our desires flow out of the love of God. There will be times that our words and our actions are not formed from the love of God, but by his grace there will be more times that our words and our actions are formed from the love of God. We know this to be true, for we know, as we talked about in James, that there is a war going on over our heart. We must let the love of God prevail. And we know from 1 John that we can and will have victory over sin, and we can overcome the world only through faith. We have seen the need because of the wickedness in this world, but we have also seen the glorious love and the great hope that is represented by a baby in a manger, who has come to fulfill the will of the Father to rescue and deliver us from sin. Think for a minute what Jesus Christ did for us in love. We know from 1 John that he was with the Father from the beginning. He left his heavenly comfort to come to this broken, fallen world. He came knowing what he was going to endure for you and for me. He came knowing he would be rejected, tormented, beaten, and taken to the cross. He did this in love. We were a lost and helpless people in need of something, in need of a Savior. We looked already at the great need all the way back to Genesis. In love, God provided for Noah. He provided for Abraham. He provided for Mary and Joseph. And yes, he provides for us. He provided a way of hope that we no longer have to live. We no longer have to live for ourselves. We no longer have to live for our own will, our own pleasures, our own fears, but we can live a life of love to the Father, who provided all for us. We can live in love, an obedient, loving, faithful life, dedicated to his will, dedicated to his pleasures, fully committed to following him. We can see the manifestation of Christ in love. Only through the love of God do we have hope. Hope because a baby came, because that baby, as a man, conquered death and sin. Without that manifestation of Christ in this world, we would have no hope. We would have no eternal security. We would have no love for one another and no love for God. If you have not taken that first step and put your faith and trust in Christ, I would urge you today to put your faith in him who has given all for us. As we know, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There is no good deed, there is no good work we can do for ourselves that will earn us favor with a holy God. It is only through the free gift of God, by grace, through faith, we can stand forgiven before a holy God. This is only because of the perfect sacrifice on the cross. If you have taken that first step of faith, and you are walking and progressing and growing in your love, obedience, and faith in him, but you know there is still a war going on over your heart, we still need the amazing grace that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That amazing grace that flows from his amazing love for us. We must seek his grace. The judgment of the flood was not the end of the story of humanity. It is not the end because God, the God of glory and power and sovereignty, is a God of glorious grace and love. He sent his Son in love. By grace, and gives us the capacity to love him in a way that we were designed to love. We see the great need of love because the great sin in the world. We see the great act of love, the manifestation of Christ's love to us. We see the manifestation in a baby, in a manger. And though that baby we see, and through that baby we see that joy has come. Joy has come into this world. The song that we sang this morning, Joy Has Dawned, has an excellent words and message. And I'd like to close by reading the words to us that we sang earlier. Joy has dawned upon the world, promised from creation. God's salvation now unfurled, hope for every nation. Not with fanfare from above, not with scenes of glory, but a humble gift of love, Jesus, born of Mary. Sounds of wonder fill the sky with the songs of angels, as the mighty Prince of Life shelters in a stable. Hands that set each star in place shape the earth in darkness. Cling now to a mother's breast, vulnerable and helpless. Shepherds bow before the Lamb, gazing at his glory. Gifts of men from distant lands prophesy the story. Gold, a king is born today. Incense, God is with us. Myrrh, his death will make a way, and by his blood, he'll win us. Son of Adam, son of heaven, given as a ransom, reconciling God and man, Christ, our mighty champion. What a savior, what a friend, what a glorious mystery. Once a babe in Bethlehem, now the Lord of history. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, our Heavenly Father, how truly grateful we are for the great love that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, as we are entering this Christmas season, Lord, what a wonderful time it is to be able to be together, to be able to be with family and celebrate. But Lord, help us to remember, help us to reflect on your message. Help us to remember the manifestation of your love in a baby in Bethlehem. And Lord, it's because of that baby, it's because of that work on the cross that we can stand here today full of hope, full of assurance of eternity, by simply putting our faith and trust in you. Lord, I do pray this morning that as we go forth, as we reflect on your love, for you are love, that we in turn would show and we would manifest love to one another because of your great love for us. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. We'll now have our time of communion. If you haven't had a chance to get a cup, and it's all in one, a cup and wafer all together, they are on the back table, so you can take a second now and get that.